We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, I'm here at the American Freedom Network, and we had hoped to have Joel Skousen with us this morning. Joel, are you there? Well, the worst thing that can happen is when you're anticipating having a guest, and let's hope he's here. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am, Stan.
Okay, fine. I was beginning to panic. Anyway, our friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, to bring us abreast of what's really going on in the world today. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there's some frightening things are certainly in the offing. But you go right ahead, Joel.
Well, thank you very much, Stan. And let's first talk about Paul Ryan, whether or not he's a conservative or a Rhino Republican. You know, I don't recall any vice presidential candidate getting more scrutiny or taking more of a public drumming than Paul Ryan has. After being announced as Mitt Romney's running mate, every major pundit on the right and the left has weighed in on Ryan, and every major position and vote he's taken has been cataloged and analyzed a great deal. The result has been uniformly negative from the left, as expected, and almost as negative from the constitutional right. The near total rejection by the far right has been disappointing to Romney and his establishment advisors, who were hoping to impress the Ron Paul faction of the party with Ryan's libertarian roots. Ryan is clearly no Ron Paul, but is he a Republican in name only or a real conservative? Well, this week in today's World Affairs Brief, we're going to analyze that. Well, to the left, Paul Ryan's the Grand Inquisitor of the House, wielding the mighty budget axe to gut all government programs dear to progressives. That's that phony title the media uses to lessen the public's distaste for socialism, calling everyone progressive, and the left's agenda for rebuilding wealth through government. Or redistributing wealth through government. But in reality, it is otherwise. The Ryan budget cuts are nearly as tepid as the Obama budget proposals in terms of actually cutting the size of government. Both proposals have to get out 10 years to show any slowing in the growth of government at all, and neither actually shrink the size of government or balance the budget for 30 more years. And we know what chance that has of happening. Of the critics on the right, Ron Paul clearly cuts cleanly to the chase and clarifies reality when he comments on the Ryan budget. Here's part of his speech to Congress. Mr. Speaker, listening to the claims of the opponents of this budget, one would think it represented a frontal assault on the welfare state and the entitlements programs. However, in fact, with all respect to Shakespeare, the sound and the fury protesting his budget ultimately signifies nothing. That's referring to Shakespeare's statement about perhaps he protested too much. Under this budget, the federal government will spend $3.5 trillion next year, while under President Obama's budget, the government will spend $3.8 trillion. The small difference between the congressional budget and the president's hardly seems to justify the overheated rhetoric we hear emanating from both sides of the aisle. Even under the most optimistic scenario, this supposedly radical budget does not balance the federal budget until 1 year after my granddaughter will be in college. Under less optimistic assumptions, my great-granddaughter will be almost 30 before she sees a federal balanced budget. This assumes that Congress will even adhere to this year's budget in future years, which is a very dubious assumption. And that's true, Stan. Congress doesn't have any requirement at all to abide by what the Congress passes as a budget, and they never do. The only time they've ever actually stayed within a budget was when Clinton had a surplus due to all the inflation that was happening during that bubble in the 90s. Well, there are major differences between the Ryan and the Obama budget in terms of individual income taxes, corporate taxes, Medicare, Medicaid, defense spending, and deficits, but I'll leave that to those who get a sample of the World Affairs Brief to go through. But it is important to remember that the Republican Liberty Caucus of Wisconsin, Ryan's home state, is wondering, does Paul Ryan's record match his rhetoric, especially on debt issues? And they say they don't. In fact, they're very much opposed to Paul Ryan. They basically talk about the fact that he voted with George Bush 94% of the time. He's a person who goes with the flow in Congress. Even though he's known for, cutting the deficit and balancing the budget, why did the congressman they asked vote to bail out the auto industry, pass the Medicare package, that's a $400 billion item, and to nationalize education on the No Child Left Behind? Specifically voted for the TARP program in 2008, the economic stimulus in 2008, the economic stimulus in 2009, the bailout of GM and Chrysler in 2008. He voted for the drug benefit program for Medicare recipients, the $70 million Section 8 housing vouchers, extending unemployment benefits in 2008, the Head Start Act in 2007, and he voted for No Child Left Behind. On civil liberties, he voted yes on federalizing rules for driver's license to hinder terrorists, which is a step in the direction of having a national ID card. Voted yes on making the Patriot Act permanent, which is unforgivable. Voted yes on allowing electronic surveillance without a warrant. Voted yes on NDAA. Voted yes on authorizing military force in Iraq and Afghanistan, declaring Iraq as part of the war on terror, and voted no against redeploying U.S. troops out of Iraq as early as 90 days. Well, Congressman Ryan supports the United Nations, the World Trade Organization's federal bailouts, increased involvement in education, stimulus spending, and foreign aid. So what is there to praise about Paul Ryan?
Well, I think an awful lot of conservatives would tend to back him because the liberals are opposing him without ever bothering to look at his record. And I think you're right. Paul Ryan supports the welfare state and the warfare state, and certainly is a... certainly a great supporter of Wall Street. Go right ahead.
Well, and, it's also interesting to look, though, at the... I mean, this, in my opinion, though, is not a Republican in name only, as we, talk about people like Dick Cheney and George Bush, who we know to be actual globalists. Pastor Chuck Baldwin was very vociferous this week calling all of these people, including Mitt Romney, Rhino Republicans, a Republican in name only. But I have to slightly disagree with that label, the use of that label. My analysis is similar to an application with Paul Ryan. Romney is not a true neocon, and neither is Ryan, even though they both seem to be bending over backwards to please the establishment by promoting a neocon foreign policy. My point is that they are ignorant of the underlying neocon globalist agenda that true neocons operate under.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Joel Scout.
Hello. 11 years ago when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, and Joel has been discussing the qualifications of Paul Ryan for the vice presidency. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I was making the point that neither Romney or Ryan are true conspirators in the neocon globalist conspiracy. If they do have any guilt at all, it's because they both want to remain ignorant of that conspiracy so they don't have to have a fit of conscience over what this conspiracy is all about to destroy American sovereignty. Neither has Romney been part of, you know, what a true neocon is. A true neocon is a wolf in sheep's clothing that is actually a leftist liberal and knowingly falsifies their credentials in order to switch to play the role of a conservative, to push an aggressive intervention in foreign policy. That's where neocon came from, is that these were liberals who switched to the Republican Party just to be, quote, conservative on foreign policy, meaning aggressive in their interventionist foreign policy. And that refers mostly to people like Bill Kristol, head of the Weekly Standard, Gene Kirkpatrick, who used to be the American ambassador to the UN, and the rest of the leftists who switched to being Republicans, worked their way into the Bush administration in order to carry out this tedious plan. Bush himself was part of that, though he was more of a puppet in his administration and was controlled almost completely by Vice President Dick Cheney, who had a staff of over 600 in the Vice President's office because he was really running the country. That being said, it makes little difference to the loss of our liberty if a potential president like Romney is a true neocon or blindly following his neocon advisors toward greater war and the New World Order. It does make a difference to the powers that be, however, if he gets into office. They don't like to have a person in high office who might see the illegal acts they constantly engage in and object to them or have a fit of conscience and try to change things. Even though Kennedy, for example, was put into office by the kingmakers, a controlled individual, he was not a moral person. He did refuse to act as a puppet when he was in president and acted as if he really were president. They didn't like that. They had to stop him from trying to shut down the CIA's illegal activities that bothered him. Eventually, the government had him killed in order to stop him. And what I mean by the government is the dark side of government, which operates in all administrations. It's more or less visible depending on how much of a puppet they have in the White House. Neither Romney nor Ryan are on the dark side, and that worries the establishment. That is why they've tried to stop Romney, both in 2008 and 2012, from getting the nomination. But don't mistake the establishment's apparent support of him now, the denomination is assured is a sign that he is totally compromised or part of the evil system. There's a big difference between trying to control a candidate and his being on the inside. Well, the powers that be don't have significant dirt on either Romney or Ryan, and nobody is allowed in on the dark side unless they have a significant history of immorality and abuse of principles. Blackmail is an essential control feature to keep conspirators under control, and I think they have files on about 75% of congressmen to keep them under control. And a lot of justices, by the way, in the court system. Although I feel it's important to distinguish who is corrupt, a corrupt insider, from those who are going along because they're trying to please the establishment, the ignorant ones trying to please can actually be more dangerous to our liberty than the corrupt ones like Cheney and Bush. Romney and Ryan can be more believable than Cheney, and good people can sense that they aren't corrupt. Hence, they're more trusting of someone like Romney and Ryan with good family and religious backgrounds. And that's why, as Pastor Baldwin said, as long as there's one conservative on the ticket, mushy-head conservatives across the country will go gaga, starry-eyed, have a hypnotic trance in support of the Republican ticket. And that's very unwise. That's why I'm not afraid to vote for a third party, even if it means Obama gets reelected. He can't do much more damage than he has, and the courts, and the courts have already done. But a Romney could convince a lot more conservatives to go along with war and deficit spending. When Republicans are in office, the conservatives go to sleep, and we lose our civil liberties like with the Patriot Act. We lose liberties under Democrats as well as they expand and invent new government programs. Americans lose under either party. Well, I'm still convinced, Stan, that the powers that be are intending to keep Romney out of the White House. I don't believe the trumped-up essays about a rebellion against Romney coming at the convention. It's not going to happen. A Ron Paul rebellion at the convention would be the establishment's worst nightmare, and they aren't about to allow that to happen. I still think they're trying to finagle a Ron Paul endorsement of Romney in exchange for a speech at the convention, and that's not going to happen. And so the speech may be dumped as well that they promised him, or they may route it out to some period of time that's when no one's watching.
I agree. I would hate to think that Ron Paul would compromise his principles by endorsing Romney. I wish that his son hadn't. But go right ahead.
Well, what should be the key issue of the election, of course, is the runaway government police power and the loss of our civil liberties that have happened. Paul Craig Roberts seems to be at the forefront of really being critical about government now, and he's got a wide voice. I think he's well-received, well-written. And he says the real issues can nowhere be found in the campaigns or in the media. There's no mention of the Bush-Cheney destruction of the U.S. Constitution, its legal protections of citizens from arbitrary government power. Due process no longer exists for anyone who the executive branch suspects of being connected in any way with Washington's chosen enemies. U.S. citizens can be thrown into dungeons for life on suspicion alone. As long as they're not charged with a crime, they can be held in indefinite detention. He talked about the fact that last May, District Federal Court Judge Catherine Forrest ruled that the NDA issue of indefinite detention of U.S. citizens is unconstitutional and issued an injunction. And the Obama administration simply, thumbed their nose at her and basically refused to implement and stop it. They won't even tell her whether or not what they're doing with her injunction. It's kind of like we're above the law and do not answer the federal courts. Fortunately, that's been the way it has been for a long time. They only abide by what the court says when they want to. And most of the time, the court gives them what they want to do anyway because they're part of this conspiracy, at least at the highest levels. Well, one of the interesting things, of course, is now that we're finding out that the U.S. is funding the opposition in Syria, including al-Qaeda, that makes the U.S. government guilty of this indefinite detention clause within the NDA because they can be found guilty of collusion with the enemy. I owe that to Craig Roberts for pointing that out.
Well, of course, we're funding terrorism, and it should be so obvious to anybody that this whole revolutionary terrorist movement is being funded by the United States government. Certainly the backbone of the opposition to this current Syrian government is al-Qaeda. The al-Qaeda flag is flying in occupied areas of Syria, and we're funding al-Qaeda. in Syria, and we're fighting it in Afghanistan, and something's wrong with the picture. But go right ahead.
Well, as Paul Craig Roberts says, as the United States has degenerated into a police state, in a short period of 10 years should be the real campaign issue. Who would ever have thought such a thing possible? Yet there's no mention of the destruction of the rule of law in the name of the hoax of war on terror, except for Ron Paul. And he has been excoriated by the media for arguing that the U.S. intervention was responsible for what legitimate terrorist backlash that there was. Roberts continues, the Bush regime created the propaganda that, quote, they, the Muslims, hate us for our freedom and democracy. How can Muslims hate what we don't even have? It's a good point, even though most Americans think they are free. We don't really have a lot of freedom left. The arbitrary, unaccountable power asserted by the executive branch is totally incompatible with freedom and democracy, yet neither Obama nor Romney make this an issue, and neither does the media. But that's for different reasons. You know, Obama's a puppet to the globalist establishment. So is the media. I've made the point often in my world affairs briefs that they're not really left liberal. They are globalist and shills for government. That's what the media is. And because the government has a globalist socialist agenda, so does the media. But in fact, the media will promote, quote, aggressive neocon right-wing policies as well. But they will not tolerate the Ron Paul point of view, which is the truth now about non-intervention that we should be following. Robert says there is no war on terror. I've said that much myself. There is a war on countries that are not Washington's puppet states. Now, in this, and that was Robert's statement, Roberts does not seem to understand the globalist agenda of creating hatred against the U.S. to provoke a future war. He thinks that this is, and I think he's been kind of influenced by the opposition on the left, here, even though Roberts is not actually a leftist. But he kind of thinks that this is because of greed and power and empire and the other things that the left has been charging about crony capitalism. But in fact, the real reason why the U.S. is intervening around the world is because they're trying to provoke a future world war based upon the issue of the U.S. becoming the bully of the world. In any case, Ron Paul is the only candidate that would have threatened this arbitrary power agenda, and the establishment has successfully undermined his candidacy. Noted journalist Juan Williams wrote about Paul's lasting legacy this week when he said in TheHill.com, but Ron Paul's a persistent politician. Before the House adjourned for the August recess, Paul won a vote to have an audit of the Federal Reserve. That was a revolutionary act against Wall Street, writes Williams. And the nation's banking establishment and Washington politicians, they bankroll. Every House Republican except one voted for the bill. 89 Democrats broke with their party's leadership and voted for it. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that anything will come of it, because I think a lot of them voted for it because it's viewed as popular, but they know that it'll be stopped in the Senate, so they won't have to actually, you know, they can get away with voting for it for political reasons, even though they don't support it. And just as he took on the powers of the Federal Reserve, writes Juan Williams, Paul has taken on the powerful and rich who support unquestioned spending of the military budget. It's very interesting that, you know, for the first time, there is some sentiment for cutting back on the military budget. I'm a little bit ambivalent there. I oppose a lot of the wasted military spending on these wars of intervention, but I still think we need a stronger military budget to prepare for the eventual war against Russia and China, which our government is intent on not preparing for because they want us held hostage to that.
Well, I wish we could get away from these wars. I think that America has an empire today. I think it'll be challenged by Russia and China, but I also think we're doing everything we can to build up Russia and China in preparation for this war. And until people understand we fund both sides in these wars, why they're going to continue. We go right ahead.
Well, Juan Williams ends with a statement, as he leaves the political scene, there's no doubt that cranky Ron Paul has made his mark on American politics. We will be living in the age of Ron Paul for many years to come. But Paul followers don't intend to let that legacy die. Quote, how significantly Ron Paul has changed the debate on just issues like the Fed and the Pentagon spending is really something to behold. But these two issues are only the beginning. the revolution that Ron Paul has started has only begun. But in the meantime, of course, since the Ron Paul people like myself are in the minority, we will see only more war and more deficit spending. Now, for you listeners, of course, I want to reiterate my position that I believe that, in fact, there won't be a collapse of the dollar, that it'll be a slow downhill inflationary scenario going forward until it ends in war, a world war. And the reason being is that if they were to pull a collapse, that's what I'm going to talk about in the next session, about this increasing collapse scenario that everyone's talking about, that powers that be would get the blame. But if they wait until war comes, they walk away without the blame. They blame the collapse on war, Russia, and China.
Okay, fine. Well, what's the next subject?
Well, I was just hoping the break would come before we get into this collapse scenario, but I'll go ahead and start that. I do a lot of consultations with people around the country who have bought my book, Strategic Relocation. Somewhere in that conversation, every single client asked me if I think the economic collapse is imminent. That's all they hear on the Internet from Alex Jones, Lindsay Williams, Gerald Celente, Steve Quayle, Doug Hayden, Bill Deagle, and many others. And despite my attempt in last week's World Affairs Brief to bring calm to the Internet rumors of government preparing to collapse, none of my fellow commentators on the right seem to be listening. Stories and predictions of imminent monetary and banking collapse followed by martial law seem to be growing each day as one commentator relies on the other's commentary to build their case.
Well, that's all. Well, the thought will be back in a few moments with Joel Skousen here, the American Food Investor.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Looking for the perfect answer to your nutrition and health needs? Look no further. BioSuperfood, developed to heal the peoples, animals, and land after the Chernobyl disaster, has the most complete, powerful nutritional analysis for health and wellness. Easy to digest, BioSuperfood contains complete proteins, amino acids, and vitamins A, B complex, B12, C, E, D, and K. It contains minerals and trace elements like calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, iodine, manganese, zinc, selenium, silicon, and it provides essential fatty acids, omega-3, 6, and 9. It's high in gamma linoleic acid and has thousands of active enzymes and phytonutrients like chlorophyll, spirulina, and carotenes, beta carotene, alpha carotene, astaxanthin, lutein, lycopene, quercetin, and much more. Save your money, save your time. Compare, and you'll find that there is no more researched or superior product available on the market today. Call now and get your discount prices on your next Bio Superfood at 303-257-7576, 303-257-7576, or biosuperfood at hotmail.com.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and how they can get copies of your excellent books, which get people to prepare and tells them how to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead.
Thank you, Stan. The World Affairs Brief can be viewed on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. On my other website, joelskousen.com, that's J-O-E-L-S-K-O-U-S-E-N, people can view pictures of my various books. My top seller is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. It's in its third edition, all new colored maps, and about 75% new material on analysis of all the states in the Union and provinces of Canada, as well as a new section on international retreating. My largest book is The Secure Home. It's over 700 pages and has everything you want to know about high-security construction, design of residences and retreats, as well as alternate energy features from generators to solar and everything else that you need to be self-sufficient. My last book is How to Implement a High-Security Shelter in the Home. It's an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within an existing basement. And all of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and Joel's books are among our very best sellers. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the imminent collapse scenarios that are just awash on the Internet through Alex Jones, Gerald Salenti, Steve Quayle, Doug Hageman, and Bill Deagle. Everyone's talking about imminent collapse. The stories of prediction of imminent monetary and banking collapse followed by martial law seem to grow each day. And what I'm complaining about is everybody's using the other people who are predicting the same to reinforce them, saying that, you know, all of our sources match. Well, there aren't any all of our sources. There's just one disinformation source coming out of government that everybody's quoting. And then everyone's relying on one another. It culminated in a red alert by Alex Jones after major U.S. banks were reportedly warned by government to prepare for collapse by October of this year, and he issued a red alert. And I have the link in today's World Affairs Brief. But there's a problem with this. This alert is based on a Reuters article about in the Chicago Tribune about a two-year-old investigation into these rumors of collapse. Not collapse, but a preparation for collapse. Though through an FOIC request, Reuters found out that each of the two big-to-fail banks had been requested by the Treasury to develop living will-type transition plans in case they fail, and how they would like to see their assets transferred to other big banks. Now, this article investigation makes no mention of October. There isn't any reason to suspect from the article that the Fed or the banks are expecting an imminent collapse of the banking system. What it really implies in this article is that the insider banks want to make sure there's an orderly transfer of their assets to other big banks should they fail. It's more of a keep the wealth in the family preparation than an indication that the world's monetary system is losing control. Nevertheless, each of the largest talk show hosts on the constitutional right seem to be reinforcing each other, referencing the same unnamed sources within government who keep feeding them this information. And time and again in the past, these sources have proven to be wrong, and I think they're just planting disinformation to get our side of the spectrum discredited. Remember, as a couple of examples, the Christian law enforcement officer, this was all over the Internet, who, quote, overheard FEMA officers telling county officials in a certain state about an imminent bank holiday coming. This was in August 2010 and turned out to be totally bogus. Didn't happen. Didn't even come close to happening. And I predicted it wouldn't happen because it would shut down the economy and the powers to be would get blamed. And remember Doug Hageman's government source, who recently claimed that patriotic high-ranking officers in the military were planning a coup to take down these globalist leaders. Well, that too was bogus. not only will it not happen because the military is full of yes men at the top, but if the source was telling the truth, he would have killed the plan by announcing it on radio, and all the conspirators for liberty would have been found out and dead by now. I mean, this is just stupid. Conservatives don't think through these things and ask the same questions that I'm asking about it. Now, in this case, Alex is covering himself by saying that this banking collapse doesn't have to happen, saying that if we give this enough publicity, he says, the powers that be cover will be blown and they won't do this, or they won't follow through with this. Well, there's no nefarious plan of the government that's ever been revealed before, because there are no true insiders, and they would get caught. A lot of people don't realize, how are these insiders talking to Alex Jones without being caught? Because the government surveils all telephones, especially to, you know, the right wing. And so, you know, if they keep talking to Doug Haven, if they keep talking to Steve Quayle, there's no way they're not going to get caught. But they keep talking. And that means these are government disinformation artists that have the approval of government to do these things. But there's no historical precedent for this claim that giving enough publicity to this will stop government from following through. You know, there hasn't been any revelations that have been real anyway. There weren't any four revelations about what the government was going to pull off in 9/11 or Oklahoma City bombing enough to stop it. But it will allow these predictions and these predictors to excuse themselves when this doesn't happen, rather than apologize for spreading unfounded rumors. And I'm for the fact that we need to start apologizing if you make these kinds of predictions that are unfounded, because otherwise you keep doing this sky is falling regime, and most people are going to get tired of this, and people like Alex are going to be discredited. Now, to be perfectly clear, I'm not debunking this patent of disinformation because I dislike Alex Jones or any other of the big audience talk show hosts. They do a great service most of the time. I just don't want them or the movement to be discredited by this hype. It's time that the right settles down to analyze more carefully how the powers that be operate and why they aren't going to pull off a collapse or a martial law without probable cause, or at least one that appears probable to the public. Yes, a banking shutdown would provide the rationale, but it would also collapse the economy, and they would get the blame. And so would Obama, who they want to get reelected. I just think the evidence is, if you think it true, is all against this kind of protection. Now, another bogus warning that's going around related to martial law are the stories about millions of rounds of ammunition being purchased by the Department of Homeland Security, the IRS, and other federal agencies. The conspiracy got even more suspicious when it discovered that the IRS had blacked out portions of its order posted to the public, specifically information about the number and type of ammunition. But what all of these stories don't understand is that, you know, 750 million rounds of ammunition doesn't, in fact, indicate that the DHS is actually ordering this much. There is another reason for this outrageous quantity. In typical bid fashion, requisitions by the federal government and its agencies are created for the purpose of establishing a price and a maximum quantity not to exceed. Is almost always never actually ordered or received. So from these documents, you cannot be assured that DHS is actually intending to take delivery of 750 million rounds of ammunition, which is absolutely
unnecessary. Hold that thought, Joel. Hold the thought. We'll be right back here at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here for the last segment of the program with Joel Skelton. Joel, you go right ahead.
Well, as we're talking about these stories of outrageous forms of ammunition, what I'm saying is that in the federal bidding process, and my son works for a military contractor who deals with us all the time here, is that you put an outrageous number on there as a non-exceeding, it doesn't mean that you're actually going to take, delivery of that, just lock down a price for any number of future quantities that they might want to order. So we have to be very, very careful about some of these things. They are not indicative. The martial law is just around the corner. Martial law doesn't intend to shoot everyone. I mean, how could you use a 750 million rounds of ammunition? It's just insane. Martial law is intended to control people and to restrict them both in time and space. It takes hundreds of thousands of police and military to enforce martial law nationwide. And it slows down the economy to a crawl, just with the powers that they need to reassure the public that there's no conspiracy. And I'm being satirical there. I don't think they're that stupid that they're going to pull this off anytime soon. I think it would take almost a war scenario before they could justify this. Now, once again, people keep going back to this economic collapse, and therefore there's complete social unrest, and everybody goes berserk in the nation. I just don't see that happening. Just don't see that happening. The powers to be show every indication that they're going to try to manage inflation, keep it in the 7-9% range to keep it from going into a hyper feeling of inflation. Bernanke has said as much. They're going to continue to control it like this, and I think that's exactly what they intend to do. And so I think people need to realize we do have more time to prepare correctly without doing, going off the deep end and making bad decisions. Well, there is a major threat of the Israeli strike on Iran. It's looking like it's coming up in the future. I continue to make the statement that the reason the U.S. is pushing to get Syria out of the way is so that Israel can be free from retaliation from Syria, who's an ally of Iran. And Syria has the most dangerous set of missiles that can threaten Israel if there is retaliation from an Israeli strike. But this week, we got an inside report on what an Israeli strike would like, put out by Richard Silberstein of antiwar.com, and I think it is accurate. He says, in the past few days, I received an Israeli briefing document outlining Israel's war plans against Iran. The document was passed to me by a high-level Israeli source who received it from an IDF officer. My source, in fact, wrote to me that normally he would not leak this sort of document, but these are not normal times. He says, I'm afraid Bibi and Barak are dead serious. He's referring to Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, and Ehud Barak, defense minister. Both of these are the ones pushing for an Israeli attack on Iran. So The reason the source leaked it is to expose the arguments and plans advanced by the Bibi Barak two-headed warrior. Neither IDF leaker nor my source, nor virtually any senior military or intelligence officer in Israel wants this war, but the politicians are pushing for it. And that's because, as I have said many times, the politicians are run by globalists. Bibi Netanyahu is no more a right-wing politician than Ehud Barak is a labor left-wing. They're both working for the globalists. They both work both sides of the political spectrum, just like they do here in the United States, in order to fool the people and to get them into more wars. He says, whoever wrote this briefing paper had use of IDF and intelligence data, but I don't believe the IDF wrote it. It sounds more likely it came from the political side of Israel, the National Security Advisor, Yaakov Amirdrul, and I believe he's right. He says that I've translated the document from Hebrew with the help of Dana Shunra. This is Bibi's sales pitch to the war cabinet, trying to convince them. Right now there's a 4-3 majority opposed in the cabinet to an Iranian strike, and it appears that this document is how to convince in a sales pitch for the rest to turn the cabinet around. This is Shakana Israeli style. It is Bibi's effort to convince high-level Israeli officials that Israel can prosecute a pure technology war that will involve little casualties to Israeli soldiers. And this is important, that it is a sign that this is a true document, in the sense that both the U.S. and Israel don't want to get into a ground invasion of Iran. The United States people won't tolerate it. The Israeli people won't tolerate a lot of casualties and another expensive war. And that's why I think this is going to be what they want to call a clean war, surgical strike, high-tech strike with lots of missiles, lots of cruise missiles, lots of aircraft, just bombing the hell out of Iran instead of, so they don't have to invade. And so the statement of the document says that Israel will open with attack on a coordinated strike using an unprecedented cyber attack, which will totally paralyze the Iranian regime and its ability to do this. They will take down the internet, telephone service, radio and television, communication satellites, and fiber optic cables, including underground missile bases in two places where Iran has those. The electrical grid will be taken down. Transformer stations will be shocked. They have these bombs that have carbon fiber munitions, which throw out all of these little carbon fibers, which get into all the electronics. They're finer than human hair, and they cause shorts, electrical shorts in all circuit boards. And this is something the U.S. has developed quite a while ago, and apparently has given it to the Israelis. There'll be a barrage of tens of ballistic missiles, which will be launched from Israel toward Iran, 300-kilometer distance. Ballistic missiles will be launched from submarines. They will not be nuclear at this point. They say they'll be conventional. The missiles will strike their targets, some exploding above ground, and taking on some of them being the, of course, bunker-busting munitions that will be used to explode underground facilities at Fordo. A barrage of hundreds of cruise missiles will then pound command and control systems, research and development facilities, and residences of senior personnel. As I say, they intend to simply take down the country so that it cannot operate. But there will be retaliation, I'm sure. Iran will get off some missiles, and Israel will be hit. And that's why they want Syria taken out of this picture, because Syria has thousands of missiles that can also do a lot of damage in Israel, not to mention thousands of smaller, not as lethal missiles that the Hezbollah has coming out of Lebanon. So this is not going to be pretty for Israel. It's going to be a tough go, but I'm convinced it's coming. Everybody else knows it's coming, and the U.S. is very much in on a part of this planning.
All right, thanks so much, Joel. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the American people did not want to go to war in 1917, but they were manipulated into that war by a small group of people in government who wanted a war at that time. The American people didn't want to go to war with Japan and Germany, and they didn't realize that the United States had been manipulating Japan for many years to get them to attack us. Oh, but we were already at war with Japan before December 7th, 1941. We had embargoes on Japan. We had all sorts of sanctions on Japan. These were acts of war. And what happened on December 7th was well known to our leaders ahead of time, and they left our men there to die. So we could justify getting into the war, just as they created the episode on September 11, 2001, to justify taking us into a war with Afghanistan and with Iraq. The Israeli people do not want a war with Iran, but there's a small group of globalists over there who control the government, that's Netanyahu and Barak, and they're going to precipitate a war, and it's going to have consequences as far as America is concerned. I certainly remember when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And there's no such thing as a good war. And I believe we're in for some very difficult times. I think that Joel is absolutely right. The war is coming. When it's coming, I don't know, but I think it's coming. And prepare for difficult times, because when you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that, first of all, I'll be speaking there in the Denver area on the 15th of September. And if you want more details, certainly you can call the desk there at this radio station, and they'll be able to tell you where it's going to be, or you can call our 800 number, and we'll get the information on who to contact if you're interested in hearing my talk on the 15th of September there in Denver. We'll also be having a conference here on the 21st of October, and we always have a contingent from Denver, from that area, coming. So remember, they talk on the 15th of September in Denver, our talk on the 21st of October, and we'll be bringing other exciting speakers here to Santa Cruz. Then we need to remind you, my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, we'd appreciate hearing from you by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, then please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection to support our network of radio stations across the country. And we've had to give up some of our shortwave, but we've decided to keep 1 hour shortwave anyway every day because we think the information is vitally important. There's some people who just can't afford a computer. We do reach a lot of people in Sydney with the shortwave, so we're going to maintain at least 1 hour, but we're going to have to give up a couple of hours because it was costing us $5,000 a month for that, and you can't keep going behind indefinitely. Under any circumstances, the Lord's provided in the past, and hopefully he'll continue providing for us as long as he wants us out there, trying to bring in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get my talk on the dark secret, my talk on the forbidden secret, their syllabuses to go with that. My talk on the population control agenda, the covert agenda. Population control, the covert agenda. Number 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow at the same time on Monday, may the Lord be with you.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these